Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Toronto singer-songwriter Glenn Hornblast will move you with the pictures he paints and the emotions he stirs in his songs. He's been influenced by the greats like Gordon Lightfoot, James Taylor, Joni Mitchell, and Townes Van Zandt. Glenn's current CD, entitled Once in a Blue Moon, features a soothing mix of folk, country, and jazz. It's my pleasure now to welcome Glenn Hornblast to the show. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Dave. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, man, it is my pleasure. So great to have you here. And we met up, around a year ago, something like that, at the Moonshine Cafe in Oakville.
That's right. One of my favorite places to play. It's a really great venue, as you know. And it's a real good home for roots music and country music, folk music, all that kind of stuff.
Definitely. Anybody who hasn't been there has got to make plans to head out, especially on those Wednesday nights when they do the NSAI gatherings and you get to see performers, songwriters up there sharing their songs, which is terrific. Now, we're going to cover your career, and we've got several of your songs from Once in a Blue Moon to play. Let's talk about the album itself, Once in a Blue Moon. Now, from what I read, Glenn, it sounds like these were songs that you had written over the last 25, 30 years?
That's right. Well, some of them were that old. And the song that recently was in a song contest, Mary, was a finalist in the USA Songwriting Contest. And that was a song I wrote maybe about 20 years ago. And it was about a real person. Most of my songs are either about real people that I've known or places I've been. This was a woman who lived on the street in Toronto. And she was a sweet old lady from Europe who had fled, you know, before the war. And here she was living on Toronto streets. And I think that everybody out there knows somebody like that or has talked to someone on the street. And when you talk to them, you get to know them. And, you know, sometimes you try and help them out a bit.
It's pretty amazing that you can turn around and write a story about that. And now you're giving her life a bit of extra meaning. And we're getting an insight, I guess, into somebody's life that we might not otherwise. And it's coming from a real true place. I mean, it's not fiction. You're writing this based on something that is real.
Right. And imagine a woman. She was around 70 years old. Imagine a woman that old living on the street in Toronto when it's 90 degrees out in the summer and minus 20 sometimes in the winter.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Wow, that's hard to imagine for most of us. I mean, what do you think it is about you and just how you've developed that you can sort of put yourself in someone else's shoes or at least empathize with someone enough to, you know, pour that into a song?
I guess that's the word, you know, empathy. And I always grew up, I guess my family, you know, communicated those values to me, and I always believed in that. You know, I've never been too materialistic a person. It's more important to me to, you know, have good friends and good family, and music has always been a bond to unite people to me, and it has in my life. It's united me with a lot of people.
Yeah, it's definitely a bonding force, and a lot of the influences, I mentioned them off the top, and you can talk about some of these, and I'm sure some of these are very early influences, people like Gordon Lightfoot, James Taylor, who others have remarked that you sound like, and we'll hear that in your music, and Townes Van Zandt, who you call a songwriter's songwriter, and you really look up to him as somebody who really paints pictures with his songs.
I think a lot of songwriters do, especially down in Nashville, and anybody who likes, you know, country folk music or folk country, because Towns kind of set the bar, you know, for very high for songwriters to write something that was so real and so poetic and yet in very simple words so that anybody could understand it. I think that's partly why he's so popular.
Yeah, for sure. And the simplicity in the song lyrics, I mean, it goes back to someone like Hank Williams, who they painted beautiful pictures. In some cases, it was simple, but simple is not easy, right? Simple can be hard sometimes.
That's right. And if you look at the song the Towns wrote called Tecumseh Valley,
right.
Tecumseh Valley is kind of like a story in, from early America, maybe after the Civil War, that period of America, just about a simple woman who, and he just tells in very stark, realistic terms, just simply what happened to her. And it was a story about a young woman who had no work and became a prostitute in a small, you know, town in the Old West. And he tells the story so simply and so beautifully, it just makes you cry. And I would say that learning, you know, being influenced by songs by Townes Van Zandt and maybe Gordon Lightfoot and Joni Mitchell, I came to appreciate that. I thought that was the bar for songwriting. If you can communicate something and touch other people. And I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And it's exactly what your music does. Your producer is David Baxter. Tell me about working with David and what he brought to this project.
Well, David's a real veteran of the music industry. He's played with so many people over the years, and he's produced dozens of CDs and LPs, even, you know, going back a few years. And he's just worked with so many great people. I think every, you know, he probably knows every musician, every major musician in Canada. And he's worked in the publishing industry, in the record company industry. But his real forte is producing. And he really has an understanding for acoustic music. And these songs that meant so much to me, you know, a song like Mary about the homeless woman, that I'd written them, and I'd only performed them with guitar, harmonica, and vocal. And he totally understood what I was getting at. He, you know, and I knew, I had confidence in him. I just knew that he understood what my music was about. And we used the best acoustic country folk players in Toronto, people like Burt Carroll and Dennis Keldy and Shelley Cooper-Smith. And he molded it into just what it is, you know, a beautiful ensemble of music that just is what it's supposed to be.
And we're going to turn to one of those songs now from the album, which is called Once in a Blue Moon. The song we're going to be listening to is Loretta. And this was one of the songs that I heard you perform at the Moonshine Cafe, and I've seen you there twice now. And the first time you performed this song, and it really touched me. It's a beautiful song. And can you share some of the story behind this one, Glenn?
Well, this is kind of just an imaginary tale that I made up, but it has to do, it's really an homage to Townes Van Zandt. And Townes Van Zandt has a song called Loretta. That was one of his early songs, and it was a bit of a hit as for people who know Townes Van Zandt. And there's some great versions of it on YouTube, one where John Prine and Lyle Lovett are singing it together. And my song is basically, this version of Loretta is just a song in my imagination about how Townes and the woman that he's in love with, Loretta, how they met. And she's a bartender or a bar girl in a country honky-tonk. And so that's the story about the song.
Love it. Great, great inspiration. Let's hear it now. Glenn Hornblast and Loretta on In the Country.
Loretta, the heart is a wonderful thing. You can break it again and again, but the heart never dies. You just keep it inside. You can lose your pain in a bottle of cheap red wine. Loretta, you'd know I've been drinking again. Staying up all night writing love songs and seeing your eyes. I guess you're surprised. I may be a fool, but I can't get you out of my mind. Oh, Loretta, I'm sorry for the things that I said. Your name's like a song. Going round of town. She had a little room upstairs from an all-night cafe. It rained every day till we had a big fight and we both went our own separate way. Oh, Loretta, I'm sorry for the things that I said. Your name's like a song that keeps going round in my head. Oh, Loretta, forgive me if I was unkind. Love is a drug, it can drive a man out of his mind. Na 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 na. Drug, it can drive a man out of his mind.
Toronto singer-songwriter Glenn Hornblast. The song is called Loretta, and you'll find his website, glennhornblast.com, where there are links to iTunes and other places you can order a CD. The lyrics are there and some other great information about Glenn. Terrific production on there. I love just all the subtle stuff that goes on in that song. And let's talk about the female harmony on that. That added a lot to that song, Glenn.
Yeah, that's an old friend of mine named Ruth Frolick. And She's a beautiful 2-year-old daughter now that she spends most of her time with. And actually, she likes to post on Facebook some of the funny things her daughter says. I can't remember them, but she's always saying silly things. But Ruth is such a talent. And she sang on about 4 or 5 songs on the CD. And everybody has remarked how wonderful her voice and how well we sing together. And we've been friends for about 20 years.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, the harmonies on a song can add so much, and her voice there really did a lot for the song. You made reference before to a song you released back, I guess, in the 80s called Northern Skies, and I was reading in your bio, that song did well for you, but you said in general the 80s weren't kind of folk singers.
No, and the record company that I had, you know, kind of went bankrupt. And then I just kind of was in limbo and didn't know what to do, you know. And it didn't seem – do you remember the 80s with the, you know, the Kenny Loggins and the Elvis Costello? It just wasn't a folk music decade. And
right.
I didn't feel that, you know, I could really pursue folk music. You know, I got into doing other things. And for a long time I was trying to write pop songs. But not that I ever gave up writing folk songs or listening to the stuff that I loved, like the Cowboy Junkies back in the 90s. But, I was trying to adjust, and I think it was a time back in the 90s, I came back to what I really, you know, I just recognized what I really loved to do. There was no point trying to do something else. Just write, you know, folk and country songs. Sometimes I write some blues and jazz songs too. But, you know, just I realized what I was and my identity. I kind of found myself. And for the decade of the 90s, I was very much connected with the Free Times Cafe. I was the open stage host, and I booked the cafe for a while. I met a lot of wonderful people like Willie P. Bennett through that job. But then, you know, I would say in the last 10 years, I got back into doing my own stuff and performing a lot.
Well, that's great, and anybody who has a chance to see you out there definitely should. They can find dates at your website and on Facebook, of course. Figure out where you are playing. When I was looking on YouTube earlier, you do a great cover of Ray Charles' Georgia, which is one of my favorite songs. It's a beautiful song, and your version of that is just terrific.
That was a great. I had a really great band that night. I play sometimes with sort of the same people, but I have a kind of a pool of musicians because they may have other gigs or something else that they're doing because some of them aren't necessarily full-time musicians. So that group that night was great. I had Dean Cavill on the pedal steel. I had a really nice bass player, Al Soberman, and I had the incredible Howard Willett on harmonica. So that was kind of a Willie Nelson-like version of Georgia.
Right, right. Now, you sing these moving songs like Loretta and Mary and so many of yours. Do you have a song, Glenn, that when you sing, it might not be one of your own, it might be a song we all know, but one that just moves you almost to tears because it is so beautiful?
Well, I would say there's a Townes Van Zandt song that I do called I'll Be Here in the Morning, and I consider that kind of one of the best songs that I've ever heard. You know, almost like a great model for a song. It's just a little traveling song. He goes through different experiences, and he's writing, as he's on the road, he's writing a song to his lover about how, you know, he'll be there in the morning. Don't worry about it. You know, I may be traveling far and wide, but I'll always be thinking of you. I just think that song was a perfect example of a song, you know. If you take it apart and study it, and I used to be in university and studied creative writing, that song is just genius. And it's just full of images, as you were saying before, about what good songs are made of.
Yeah.
I think I learned a lot from that song and from other artists who write that way. And we were just talking about Steve Warner, who you interviewed on your show recently. I mean, what great songs he does. That new album, there was an 8-year hiatus between his last album and new one, and this new one is just chock full of great songs. And
yeah,
I think they also fit into that category of songs that are full of images and full of true feelings.
That is so true, and it's typical Steve style, and you and I talked about that before we came on the air, that you would listen to that. And his new album is reflective of all that, just the storytelling and the emotions and images, all that great stuff. It really gets you lost in a song when they're written that way.
And there's such a difference when you hear a song like that and you hear, you know, I hate to say it, but on country radio these days, a lot of the stuff that they play, that maybe it's all kind of formulaic or it's very similar. It's almost like I think they're writing the same song over and over again. And there's really something about, you know, the old school artists like Steve and other people like that. Townes Van Zandt was more a folky kind of artist. And there's another fellow named Guy Clark, and he came out with a great album I would recommend anybody listen to. You can just go to his website and you can hear it on his website, Guy Clark. And again, you know, the just great songs and great emotion and songs that really speak to you because they have something real to say.
Yeah, and as you said, you don't hear that a lot these days or as much as we used to. So it's great to seek out these kinds of artists to hear songs like that because we want to be moved. It's not all about the smoke and mirrors or the flash. It's great to have some substance in the songs. Glenn, do you come from a musical family? Is that how you came by the music, or is this something you did on your own?
I think so. My father kind of and my grandfather were into vaudeville and that type of music. And so my father played piano in the home, and I picked up that old style of music, and I, you know, that was my kind of connection with songwriting. And then also listening to radio back when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, you know, Chum Radio and CFRB in Toronto, these radio stations played pretty well everything. You know, you could hear Bob Dylan, and then Frank Sinatra, and then, you know, Stevie Wonder. So there was just a variety of types of styles, and I fell in love with just, you know, good music, whoever was singing it. Even old corny stuff, from the 50s, like Doris Day or something like that. It was a good song. I liked it.
Oh, exactly. And radio in those days, as you said, I mean, it was a mix of stuff. So, you know, you're hearing country, you're hearing folk, you're hearing rock. So an artist, you know, we tend to want to define an artist that they're country or they're jazz or they're this, but it's great when somebody can be a bit of everything.
Well, you notice my album is like that. And when I was kind of growing up in the music business, and I had that kind of minor Canadian hit back in 1980 called Northern Skies, you know, people thought that you had to fit into a very small, you know, pigeonhole. And I think today it's not necessarily true. I think that the audience today is very, you know, they like different types of music, and they don't mind if their artists are. And I know that I've been, had so many people say to me that they like about my CD that it has different styles. It doesn't sound like it's the same song 12 times.
Right.
It's all different styles of music. And, you know, I even have Isla Mujeres, which is sort of a Mexican Mediterranean sounding song. So, yeah, I definitely, that was something I tried to do. I wanted to have different styles on the record.
Let's listen to a bit more. We're going to turn to the title track, Glenn, called Once in a Blue Moon. And all these are three songs I'm playing on the show, ones that I picked out. I mean, I like the whole album, but, you know, going through and picking ones that kind of show different sides of you and favorites of mine from the album. So what can you tell us about Once in a Blue Moon?
It was a song that I wrote a while ago, and I don't perform it that much in public. So I just used to have trouble remembering the lyrics to my own song. But
right.
It's just a song about, as someone came up to me once after I sang it and said, oh, I still love that song because the person in the song is saying, you know, don't give up on love. And it's one of the things that I believe in, I think, is that, you know, it may be a tough world, you know, and sometimes, you know, bad things happen, but, and we're not always going to be happy and things aren't going to work out, but don't give up. Don't give up on love. And that's kind of what the song said.
Yeah, beautiful thought and beautiful message. Let's hear the song now. This is my guest, Glenn Hornblast, and Once in a Blue Moon on In the Country.
Oh, there's a million lonely faces in the city, and there's a million lonely cities in the world, and there's a million lonely reasons for a man to give up living, and a million lonely stars up in the sky, but once in a blue a million lonely heroes on the sidewalk, and there's a million lonely eyes that never cry, and there's a million lonely reasons for a man to give up living, and a million lonely teardrops in the sky. No. there's a million lone faces in the city. And there's a million lone cities in the world. And there's a million lone reasons for a man to give up living. And a million lonely stars up in the sky. But once in a blue moon, love is gonna find you. Once in a blue moon, you touch the sky. Baby, once in a blue moon, love is gonna find you. Open your eyes, open your eyes. Baby, open your eyes, open your eyes.
And that is my guest, Toronto singer-songwriter Glenn Hornblast, Once in a Blue Moon. That's the song and also the name of the CD. And his website is glennhornblast.com, where you can learn more about him there. Beautiful song, Glenn.
Thanks so much. It really came out well. And, you know, all the musicians and the singers on it really helped.
Yeah, it's just terrific. We have another song of yours coming up shortly. I wanted to talk to you about the songwriting competitions because you've done pretty well in these. You mentioned about it earlier, and I saw at your website you've made it to some finals of some pretty big-name song competitions. Well, what's that like when you get that feedback and you have a place in them?
Well, you know, it's just very self-validating. I didn't win any of them, but I was in the finals for a lot of them. And in the last one, the USA Songwriting Contest, I was in the finals of the folk category, and there were some real heavy hitters in there, like the Canadian David Francie, who I'm sure you're familiar with, who's
yep.
a great folk songwriter and plays at just about all the folk festivals in Canada. And he actually won the competition with his terrific song, Broken Glass. But it's really self-validating. You know, I've had four songs on this CD, you know, become the finals, make it to the finals of song competition. So It really tells you, you know, you're on the right track, you're writing good songs, and people relate to them.
When you talked earlier about the song about Mary and you were inspired by a true life event, how do you usually write? I'm sure it's going to be either way depending on the time, but sometimes you're going to be moved by something like that, or other times can you sit down and say, I want to write a song, not sure what to write about, and get to that point?
You know, I've been writing songs now, you know, I've been doing this for about 30 years, 25 years, and I've gotten to the point where I'm almost superstitious about it. If I want to try to write a song, I'm not going to succeed. So you have to kind of, you know, they talk about Zen, you know, it's just kind of, it's being in the moment and it just kind of happens. You can't chase it, you can't grab onto it. Now, mind you, there's, you know, the whole songwriting industry these days is into co-writing. So there's so
right.
many down
sure.
in Nashville.
Yeah.
Everybody's co-writing with everybody. You know, I was playing somewhere recently and, like, you know, a 14-year-old girl came up to me and said, hey, man, you want to co-write? You know, I thought, well, that's pretty, you know. Everybody's doing it, but I don't do it that well. You know, I don't mind collaborating with people. It just doesn't seem to be my thing, you know. My songs are very personal, or my own view of it. And there was something I read recently, and it was by Joe Eli. I don't know if you know of him, but he's a great, check him
yeah.
out on YouTube. A great, great country singer, in a little rougher than Steve Warner, a little rougher
right.
on the edges. But he said that writing a song is like solving a puzzle, and that's the best description I've ever heard. That's absolutely true. For me, writing a song is solving a puzzle, and you know, it can take years. I could add a word to a song 5 years after I started it, and even I might get to the point where I think it's finished, but you know, 2 years later, I'll change one word, and it was just the right word, you know, to make that song work. So that's the way I feel about it. It's kind of a mystery.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those mysteries that you know when you're finished, but you don't necessarily know how you started or you know, the steps along the way. But then there's that I was going to use the word battle, but I guess just that conflict maybe between the craft of a song and the natural inspiration of the song.
That's true. And it's just my own personal opinion is that, you know, the real great songs that I love throughout the years mostly weren't, you know, written as co-writes. You know, there were one person's vision. And, you know, but there's so many exceptions to that. You know, Lennon and McCartney would be the main one, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You can't say that co-writing doesn't work because just look at what those guys did.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, so many different ways to get to a good song. And you mentioned earlier about going through that Towns Van Zandt song and studying it. It was almost like a perfect song. And I'm sure for songwriters, that's a great way to know how to write a great song is to study other songs, take them apart, see the chord progression, study the lyrics and understand what made that work.
That's true. Sometimes I'll be writing a song and I think, is this familiar? Like, am I stealing this from somewhere? And then I realize that, and other songwriters delight in coming up to me and saying, you know, that one part in your song, it's kind of like this song. And, you know, that's cool because, you know, we all, I think, all songwriters, I think, and all writers use material that they've run into before. You know, it's kind of like, our brains are like a food processor or a blender. And our experience, we chop up everything we know and then it comes out in another form. And that's the way
true.
I look at it.
Yeah, it's true. And there's only so many, of course, melodies and chord progressions. So there's going to be similar sounding songs, especially when they come from your influences like Gordon Lightfoot and Towns Van Zandt. They're going to seep into your songs specifically. Now, I wanted to ask you about artists that you would like to work with, Glenn, not necessarily duets, but maybe just to have them in the studio. Maybe it's a great guitarist, but anybody from the world of music you would like to one day surround yourself with.
Well, do you know the Canadian Colin Linden?
I sure do.
You do? Yeah, he's now living down in Nashville, and he's also a great producer and a great guitar player, very much like David Baxter. He's somebody I've thought of working with in the future. And, you know, if you go down to Nashville, well, there's just so many great musicians down there that you could work with. You know, it's almost like a music factory. But here in Canada, you know, I haven't managed to make it into, you know, playing major folk festivals or anything. And that would certainly be a pipe dream of mine. That would be nice to be able to be on those stages with some of the people that I admire.
And when you perform at your shows, I mean, I remember from the Moonshine, you would tell stories about the songs. Is that an aspect of it you enjoy, Glenn, being able to talk about the inspiration behind a song before you perform it?
Yes, exactly. Because, you know, I want to give people kind of the idea of where I'm coming from, what I'm trying to communicate. And telling the story, for instance, the background story about Mary, right? It just makes such a difference in people understanding the song. And if I guess that's what it's all about, you know, communicating some, you know, a feeling that you have.
Definitely, and I don't know in the case of Mary whether she heard the song or not, but have you written a song like that for someone and then they've had the chance to hear it, so you've been able to sort of see the direct impact that that they were moved by that song?
Let me tell you something. I'd written a song, and Mary was still alive. She was still on the streets, and she lived at that time on Bloor Street. You know, imagine living on Bloor Street in the back alleys, and I'm sure there were some churches that allowed her to sleep inside when it was either cold or too hot. But she actually ended up in an old folks home. What happened was there's this musician named Brent Titcomb that you might know, and he's a local kind of cult figure, folky, definitely one of my mentors.
Right.
Excuse me. And he knew Mary, and although I'd seen many people over the year trying to help Mary and get her into some facility, Brent actually managed to get her into an old folks home, and that's where she died. And I had the wonderful experience of visiting her at Christmas.
Oh.
And I actually brought my guitar, and I didn't play Mary, but I played Christmas songs for her and her friends in this old folks home. And she died soon after. But I was so glad that I got to do that and to see. She looked so beautiful. She looked like an angel at that point. She was so clean, and she'd lost a lot of weight. It was sad,
wow.
too.
Yeah, for sure. Quite an amazing story, though, to hear, and that you were able to take your music to her. Very comforting indeed. Let's turn to another song from the album, the third one we're going to share on the show, and it's called Tomorrow is a Friend of Mine. And what can you tell us about the song, Glenn, before we play it?
Well, that's one of the jazzy songs that that I played and that I've written. And I do get a lot of people really liking that song. It's a very positive feeling, you know.
Yeah.
And the people who played on it were two of my heroes, Julian Fouth, who won a Juno Award for his blues piano a few years ago. He plays piano on that track. And the great Chris Whiteley plays trumpet. So, harmonica? Anyway, Chris plays both trumpet and harmonica. I can't remember which one he played. Also, Drew Giretta plays some violin on this.
Awesome. Let's hear it. A great jazz-style song from my guest, Glenn Hornblast. Tomorrow is a Friend of Mine on In the Country.
After all the faded dreams, forgotten heroes who end up like James Dean. It's funny how I still believe tomorrow is a friend of mine. After all the passing years, dreams gone up in smoke and a washed up career. Drown my sorrows in a bottle of beer. Tomorrow is a friend of mine. I know it's been raining, the sky is dark and gray. What's the use complaining? Maybe the clouds will blow. After all the love affairs gone wrong, wounded hearts and bittersweet love songs, I'll climb some tower, baby, just like King Kong. Tomorrow is a friend of mine. Sky is dark and gray. What's the use complaining? Maybe the clouds will blow away. After all the love affairs gone wrong, wounded hearts and bittersweet love songs, I'll climb some tower, baby, just like King Kong. Tomorrow is a friend. Tomorrow is a friend. Tomorrow is a friend of mine. Ooh.
And that is a great song from Glenn Hornblast. It is called Tomorrow Is a Friend of Mine from his CD, Once in a Blue Moon. You can learn more about Glenn at his website, glennhornblast.com. There are links there to iTunes and some other places to purchase the album. It sounds great there, and I love that jazz sound and of course, meaningful and hopeful lyric.
Yeah, well, thanks very much for, you know, I really like the songs you chose, and you know, a lot of people do like that stuff, and I play at a club in Toronto that's known for jazz sometimes called the Gate 403, and I always try and play that song there for the folks.
It's a beautiful song. Well, what is ahead for you as we get set to enter into 2014 shortly? Any music plans for the year, Glenn?
Well, I have some gigs coming up in December, and I may be at the Moonshine this Monday because my friend Brian Gladstone is hosting he hosts the open mic there once a week, and I love going. I hang out with all my buddies that I went to Nashville with. I went to Nashville back in October, and a group of four of us, you know, we had a blast down there. We played all kinds of places. We played the Bluebird and the Commodore and played a house concert down there. But, yeah, I'm going to be playing on December 22nd. I'm playing at the Free Times Cafe with four other really good songwriters. And then on just a few days before that, on December 20th, I'm on a bill that's called Readers and Songwriters at the Black Swan in Toronto. And it's going to be a terrific night with about 20 different performers and poets and storytellers that night. It's going to be great.
That sounds awesome, and we'll look forward to those dates, of course, and dates in 2014, and new songs you're going to write and perform, of course, and hearing songs off Once in a Blue Moon. Glenn, thanks so much. It was so great to have you on the show to have a chance to talk for this long and get into some of the stories and, of course, play the songs.
Thank you, Dave. I think you have a great show. So, you know, I'm really appreciative of you having me to be part of it. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks again. My guest has been Toronto singer-songwriter Glenn Hornblast. I'm Dave Woods. For more country music interviews, be sure to head to inthecountryinterviews.com.